This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. Happy New Year. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. Happy New Year to you, sir. Happy 2026.
Yes, good morning to everybody out there. Happy New Year. January 1. Feels weird every time it rolls over.
January 1. Do you go January 1 or January 1st? Either way.
Well,
the college football quarters have begun, and man, did it get off to a great start yesterday. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that. Miami and Ohio State last night. We'll talk about the three remaining national quarterfinals that are all today. Standalone. What a great day of college football this is. Tim Murray will be around to discuss them as well, as will Chris Valleca, Miami alum. I know he's pumped about yesterday. We'll do a little holiday, are we sure? And then later on, because it is a Thursday, this does not change. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Special New Year's Day edition. There you go.
I think I was thinking of this yesterday. Crack with the triple crown of holidays this year, right?
No.
No?
Well, yes, remotely, but not in studio.
Yeah, okay.
Does that count?
Yeah, that still counts. I'll give it to him.
I have the triple crown of holidays.
Yes, you do.
Wearing these glasses on Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, and New Year's Day.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Nary another day. I don't know if I did.
Was Thanksgiving Day the first day?
Yeah. Thanksgiving Day was the first. Christmas Day was the second. New Year's Day the third. Not really a hit to the crew. They don't really like it.
I like it, man. Keep rocking them.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll talk about NFL awards. I went through my NFL futures last week when you were gone. The ugliness that is my NFL futures, but we can do them again here today because you did better than I did, I believe.
Only a little bit.
So we'll get into those.
We still got some ones that are pending though and stuff like that. Yeah. We're cleaning up the year, right?
Yesterday, what a ball game this was. Everything you could have hoped for between Miami and Ohio State. For those who missed it, second time Miami had the ball, third and two at the Ohio State 19. Mark Fletcher Jr. fumbles, Peyton Pierce recovers. And so Ohio State staves off a Miami drive. By the way, I had Miami pre-flop plus 8.5. During that drive, I was money lining Miami. I was like, oh, this looks great.
Yeah, good on you.
And then they fumble. And then the next time Miami got the ball, asking a question of Mario Cristobal, why are you equipped to win this rock fight? And Cristobal pauses and he says, it's what we do. Oh, it was a great exchange. Kidding. 13 plays, 83 yards for the Canes. Took 8:05 off the clock. Beck to Fletcher from 9 out, 7-0 Canes. A minute and a half into the second quarter. Then Ohio State, first play, saying to Jeremiah Smith for 59. You're like, oh, here comes the Buckeyes. They're going to answer. Next play, the Reuben Bain Jr. sack saying. And the play after that, saying, picked by Keontae Scott, who snuffs out the play perfectly in full stride. That was football porn. 70 yards to the house. Just beautiful. It read the play perfectly. Mm-hmm. Full stride. See ya. 11:49 left in the second quarter. 14-0 Canes. And at this point, you're like, oh, boy, this is going to be a blowout. Ohio State, they punt after saying was sacked for the third time in as many drives. This one was Akeem Mesidor's second one. And then Miami, after a ridiculous overturn of a first down with Beck at the sticks. What was that overturn? That was strange. They had to punt. Anyway, first half ends with Ohio State pinned at their own two. They matriculate to get a Jaden Fielding 49-yard field goal try. No chance. Wide left. 14-0. Hurricanes at the half. And you did feel as a Hurricanes backer, you're like, shouldn't the Canes be up a little more than this? There was that sort of nagging feeling.
Yep.
Third quarter, Ohio State gets the ball and it's the totally different ball game. They're like, we can go two tight ends, quick passes. We're not going to let the Canes pass rush get to us. 11 plays, 82 yards, took 6:55 off the clock. Bo Jackson in from one. Not that Bo Jackson, Kelly, the other one. 14-7 Canes, 8:05 left third quarter. Then Miami, after a three and out, saving third down conversion. I thought this was the sort of unsung plays of this game were a couple third down conversions by the Canes where Carson Beck was just great.
Yeah.
And this was one of them. 14-7 Miami after a three and out saving third down conversion on 3rd and 5 at their own 30, where Beck went to Keelan Marion for 12, where the ball was like 2/3 of the way to Marion when he turned. That led to a Davis 50-yard field goal, 17-7 Hurricanes with 3:02 left in the third quarter. Then OSU responds, though. 10 plays, 75 yards, took 4:33 off the clock. Sayana Smith for 14 out on 4th-and-3 at the Miami 14. 17-14 Miami with 13:28 left. Then Miami, Beck with a 3-and-out preventing 11-yard run on 3rd-and-11 their own 24, but that didn't lead to anything. They had to punt. But the Canes did stop Ohio State, again, 17-14 game, as Ohio State overcame a 3rd-and-15, but not a 3rd-and-20. They had to punt. And so Miami took the ball over at their own 30 with 5:56 left in the fourth quarter. That was also big, by the way. There was a penalty on Ohio State. Miami would have taken over at their own 10, but they were forced to re-kick it. And so Miami took over at their own 30. First play, Fletcher for 19. Two plays later, Beck avoids sack, gains a few. Next play, 3rd-and-3 at the Ohio State 44. Beck again with the quick release to Charmar Brown. Ball right there when he turns, first down. Another third down conversion where, again, plays that are lost in history in this game. Beck was great in the most high leverage moments, I thought. Then Brown for 13, then Brown for 1, 2-minute warning. So Ohio State still has all three of their timeouts. It's still a 17-14 ball game. Then Brown for 5, and Ohio State uses their first timeout. So it's 3rd-and-4 for Miami at the Ohio State 20 with 1:53 left, 17-14. Beck to C.J. Daniels for 13. Ohio State now uses their second timeout. They got one timeout left. Now, at this point in the game, the optimal strategy for Mario Cristobal and the Canes is to actually kneel three times. No, you cannot run the clock down all the way to zero, but you can get it down to 20 seconds. And at that point, no matter what you decide to do, it's still a more optimal strategy than it is to run the football and risk a fumble. Not like Mario Cristobal doesn't know anything about that more than once in history. Or, God forbid, you get a holding call, right, that stops the clock artificially, and then you're really in trouble, right, with Ohio State getting the ball back with much more significant time
or
left on the clock.
Or some other random penalty, right?
Or anything some other anything, occur, yeah. Right? It's funny, I got like a couple people on Twitter like thought they were so smart, like, what are you talking about? You can't run the clock down to zero. No, you can't, but let's think about this. Anyway, Miami goes ahead and runs because Cristobal just does that kind of thing, right? And at that point, Ryan Day elects not to use his third timeout. Okay, maybe you can make the justification. Well, he could use it here. He could use it after the next play. Whatever the case is. But then on the subsequent play, the Ohio State defense lays down and Miami scores. Brown in from 5, 24-14. At that point, there's 55 seconds left of the game. If you were going to let them score,
you do it earlier.
You call the timeout and then at 140-ish or whatever it was, and then you let them score.
Yeah.
So down 10, you would have the ball with 100 seconds or 90 to 100 seconds left in the game. This was just Cristobal's like, watch me do something dumb. And Ryan Day was like, hold my beer.
I got you.
I got something even worse for you. What a strange ending. And second play for the Ohio State drive on the subsequent drive. Sayan picked by Jacoby Thomas. That was all she wrote. Canes on their way to the semifinals. The committee got it right. Yes, they did.
Yeah, that Carson Beck stat line at the end of the day is not going to blow anybody away. But, man, I thought he had an awesome game.
I did, too.
I thought he was great all around. It threw the air on the ground, just in control, like you said. I think a lot of those conversions that are just going to get lost to history when you think back to this game. But yeah, great game by him.
Well, again, Tim Murray and Chris Felica will join us later. We saw the sort of look-aheads on this. Per DraftKings, after the game, Miami would be a 1.5-point favorite if it's versus Ole Miss. They would be a 3.5-point dog against Georgia. The hypothetical college football semifinal matchups. Also, if you want to just keep going hypothetical beyond today's trio of games, Indiana's a 4-point favorite over Texas Tech. They'd be a 3.5-point favorite over Oregon. Texas Tech would be a 3.5-point favorite over Alabama if it goes that way today. Oregon would be a 4-point favorite over Alabama. Those are the hypothetical college football semifinal matchups. But of course, we have the three games to get to today. I was on Miami plus the points yesterday, and I got the worst of it at 8.5. Although, I will kickoff, it came my way and threw me.
I was going to say, I sat here yesterday, I was like, I'm going to join you at some point, but I had no reason to rush. It was 9.5 across the board. I'm like, let me see if a 10 pops. I didn't see a 10, and by the time I got to betting it, Gil, it was probably an hour and a half before the game. I'm looking at 7.5s all across my screen. 7.5s
everywhere.
I got in at one rogue 8.5 at Boyd leftover, but yeah.
Well, that's why I bet it at 8.5 because I was convinced it was going to go that way. And then all week it just stared me in the face. I'm like, well, I'm an idiot.
Okay, so perfect example this morning. You're already in on Texas Tech, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I will be at some point, but it's the same sort of thing. It's been 2.5 now for what, a couple days? And I'm like, okay, let's see if a 3 pops. Multiple shops back down to 2, including Circa right behind us. I don't think I'm going to wait any longer.
I'm on Texas Tech. Our buddy Dr. Bob, though, who, of course, joins us to talk college football every week. He'll be here tomorrow to talk with us, either college or pro football, with his best bet of the week. He has a strong opinion in the Texas Tech-Oregon game. Now, remember, with Bob, it's best bets, 2-star, 1-star.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's strong opinions, then it's leans. Yesterday, I talked about a couple leans of his. So this is strong opinion. So it's not quite a best bet, but it's the level right under that. Here's what he had to say. The 51 points that Oregon put up against good James Madison defense. First time all season that Ducks had scored more than 26 points against a good defense. Previous 5 games against good defensive teams. Penn State, before they lost Tony Rojas. Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, Washington. Oregon averages 5.4 yards per play and 20.8 points per game. Texas Tech's D is the best that the Ducks have faced this season. And then the Raiders, Red Raiders, yielded just 3.9 yards per play in 12 games against FBS teams that would combine to average 5.8 yards per play against an average defensive team. They held the best offensive teams they faced, the Utahs of the world, at just 10 points on 259 yards at 3.8 yards per play. Oregon also has an elite defense that yielded just 4.4 yards per play. His lean is to the under in the first game, which kicks off in less than 2 hours. We'll be on air for that. Oregon, Texas Tech. Bob leans to the under. I'm on Tech. We'll come back. More college football. And some NFL next on A Numbers Game right here at Visa.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real. Mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Unmatched transparency with the records updated daily. That's what you can expect at the Sharp Plays. AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. Scan the old QR code right there on the screen. SharpPlays.com. Check them out. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. We get tweets beating the book. Jason H11, Happy New Year's to Kelly and Groucho. Groucho's me. Groucho Marx with these glasses. Buddhist Man says, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, President's Day, Memorial Day. Can't wait for the black glasses on those days as well. The black rims. Jack Olaquire, Gil and Kelly, Happy New Year. Hoping to be the first to tweet in 2026. Listening to Ace on the Megapod was great. Memories of the Man Show from years gone by came flooding back. Hilarious and helpful both at the same time. Enjoying ANG this morning as always. Thank you, Jack. What he's referring to is that Ace back in the day, co-host of the Megapod for so many years, was known for his Vegas lifestyle appearances more than anything. Let's just put it that way. He had great advice at the underbelly of Vegas.
Yeah, I remember
year
a couple
after
of those.
Year after yep. year. Oh, those were legendary. We were so young. So young. Los Vegas 514. W, wishing you both and the whole VSiN crew happy and prosperous as well as profitable 2026. Continues to be the absolute best sports betting show there is. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. And Square Bob 2022. Gil, if you're going to wear your black glasses, please just switch back sides with Kelly. Happy New Year to you and the crew.
Okay. It's 2026 and people are still bothered by this.
People still talking about that. Yeah. Wow. Real quick on the other two games. Let me just say this. I am on Indiana. I'm on Georgia. So I'm on Texas Tech. I was on Miami last night. I'm on Texas Tech this morning. And I'm on the two favorites in the two other games. Though I will say with the Indiana-Alabama game, and I have a future on Indiana at 10-1, the only thing that just gives pause, and I'll ask Tim Murray about this, I'll ask Chris Felica about this. Kalen DeBoer, the one thing about Bama, like all their conventional stats, like yards per play allowed, points all to Indiana in this matchup. But Kalen DeBoer, for those who love ATS trends kind of thing, 13-3 straight up, 14-2 against the spread when favored by less than 3 points, a pick or underdog. 2-1, by the way, this year with the split of 2 games against Georgia and a win over Oklahoma in their first playoff game. So just situations like this, Alabama tends to rise up with good competition under DeBoer. And then Ole Miss and Georgia, the whole thing you're trying to, the sort of art of not being able to quantify is, how will Ole Miss look without Lane Kiffin? Not like they did last week. Obviously, they looked great last week against a team like Tulane, but against a powerhouse like Georgia. Does the Lane Kiffin absence end up mattering? And I don't know. I don't think there's any way we can truly wrap our arms around that.
Yeah, pregame, right?
Pregame.
Might be something in game to have your eyes on, though, right? Does this team look like the same old team, or does it look like they're struggling out there with, I mean, what? We're talking major overhauls on the entire coaching staff. Guys leaving, coming back for this game, right? Like, that's a wild situation. It would be Georgia or nothing for me in that one, but I don't have any. I'm definitely going to get it on Tech. I don't have bets on the other two games yet. I think I'm just going to mess around with those live.
How great is the college football playoff, though? So great.
It's great, man.
And by the way, it is pouring for the game in Pasadena. I saw Reese Davis as I walked in here.
Still raining, yep.
I mean, it doesn't even feel like it's raining. It feels like it's a monsoon at this point. Hopefully, but clearer by game time.
There are just people like Wes Reynolds that are out there. They don't care, right? Like, imagine the Wesses that are out there today, especially the Indiana fans. Like, oh, man, like, this is, bring it on. Any weather, let's go. This type of environment, come on.
Can't wait. Let's do an NFL awards heat check since I blurted it out by accident when I wanted to talk about reviewing our futures. But I said, NFL awards. Oh, well, since I said it, we have to do it now. That's how it works. If I say it, we have to do it. Regular season MVP, Drake May -295. That pinned up at $4 after the Stafford performance against the Falcons on Monday night. Stafford is now +225, and everybody else is triple digits.
I'm glad we at least mentioned it at the time, Gil. Like, that getting out to 3-1?
I said it. It feels like a way too big of a pendulum swing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, four to one.
Right. Stafford 3-1.
Stafford 3-1, yeah. Obviously, I already got a ticket on him, so I wasn't going to jump back in. But, man, that felt like quite the overreaction. It's still, I think it's probably still a little tighter than odds indicate.
Would JVT mind if I repeated what he said off air after the show the other day when we were talking about this?
I don't think so. I don't remember what he said, but yeah.
JVT said about this that his instinct is that we will end up seeing the vote in this category. What did he compare it to? I can't remember. But he essentially what he said was, we're going to find out it wasn't that close at all in the end, and Stafford wins big.
It was the
Skeens Jackson Merrill rookie of the year. That's exactly right. That everybody was like Merrill, and then it wasn't close at all.
Yeah,
in favor of Skeens. So he felt like this would. Be
I
the
hope
same
he's
way.
Right.
I thought that was an interesting take on it.
Yep.
I know you do.
I hope he's right. I do think it, Danny, maybe we'll go coach of the year next. Like, I do think that's going to get split up a little bit too. I just think there's naturally something in voters' minds when it's same team in multiple categories of just looking for ways to mix that up.
Let's go to offensive player of the year, y'all. If we could do that, the one you just had up. This is, again, fascinating. It's a 4-man race. Jackson Smith and Jigba of the Seattle Seahawks, who has kind of tapered off the last couple weeks. It's going to need a big performance, I would think, against the Niners on Saturday. Jackson Smith and Jigba is the favorite, closely followed by Christian McCaffrey, Puka Nacua, and then down to 35-1 at DraftKings, down to 20-1 at Caesars, Bijan Robinson.
Good on you boys getting that long number.
Did I do that? Yeah, I got him at 150-1 the other night. There it is. McCaffrey's Smith and Jigba's -280. CMC's +270. Puka's 13-1. Bijan 35-1 at DraftKings. What's your sense?
Jackson Even Smith and slight movement. These are from this morning, right, Danny? Even movement this morning on these awards.
Look Puka at that. 18, Bijan now down to 25-1 at DraftKings. We just updated it. Puka falls back to 18-1. So Smith and Jigba -280 and McCaffrey at +250, Puka 18-1, Bijan 25-1. This is one of these games, the Seattle San Francisco game, for all of its implications. Mm-hmm. NFC West number one seed pushing the Rams back to 6 or not, that kind of thing. Then there's the game within the game, right? The offensive player of the year, mano a mano. If you believe that Christian McCaffrey could win both both comeback and this, which I'm not sure I do. If neither of them performs well, oh boy. Oh boy. For those who have Puka and Bijan.
I don't know if... Do you think Puka's still alive?
I don't know. It's guys voting. Who knows?
Right. You know, that's a great response. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like Bijan is more alive than Puka is at this point, just because of the scrimmage yards record, right? Like, if he's actually in play for that, like,
yes.
I mean, I think that's your guy's big time out to win this award. I think JSN probably gets it home. But you're right, man. We got a couple of these awards that are going to be on display in standalone games.
We did the blind resume the other day, in case you missed it. We won't make it blind anymore. Here's everybody. These are their stats. And my point was, and this was after I got the 150-1, Bijan was still triple digits when we did this. It's like, you can say someone else deserves it, but how in the world are those numbers what they were?
Yeah, wild.
Look at that. That's
Everybody just assuming at that point that it was down to three. And really, there should have been thought about Bijan. You guys made a great bet at that number.
Is there a better football player in the NFL all around than that guy?
I don't think there is. I don't know.
Let's look at a couple more of these. I guess the one I want to gravitate towards in our remaining time here in the segment is Coach of the Year, which, I'll say it again, you be the judge. Pick your poison. Mike Vrabel's -140. Kyle Shanahan, who I talked about the other day, is +190. Mike McDonald, who we have tickets on, Kelly's +750. Liam Cohen of the Jags is 12-1. Both Ben Johnson and Sean Payton, 40-1. These are at DraftKings.
This is another one. What did we bring up at the beginning of the week? Ben Johnson was like 80-1?
He was 80-1. Or Ben Johnson was 60-1.
60-1? Yeah. Okay, 40, it's 25-1 now. Like, I think that's much more fitting. I don't think he's out of this.
No, I don't think so either.
I have no idea. I would not be putting a bet down right now. That's for sure, this one.
But I'll say it again, and I don't have a ticket on this guy, so you know I'm being objective here when I say, if Kyle Shanahan, if there was ever a year where the parameters that typically produce a Coach of the Year winner should not be in effect, this would be that year with Kyle Shanahan, given what the Niners have overcome. That is to say, that if they get the number one seed, if they beat Seattle on Saturday, overcoming the Seahawks, the Rams, the Eagles, the Lions, all those teams in the NFC that people thought were going to be better, and having done so with a situation where Nick Bosa was knocked out for the year, Fred Warner was knocked out for the year, Brock Purdy missed 8 games, Ricky Pearsall missed 7, George Kittle missed 6. By the way, Kittle ready to go, appears this weekend. Trent Williams, of course, missed action as well. On and on and on to the break of dawn. Brandon Ayuk didn't even show up. If there was ever a year where those parameters would be, I'd be okay with them not playing into this, this would be the year. Shanahan ought to win this if they get the number one.
Still Matt Brown line. If I gave you 100 Bidlin bucks right now and you had to make a bet, who would you bet on?
Right at this moment in time?
Yeah.
I still say Vrabel. They'll give it to Vrabel. They'll figure out a way. Yeah, that's my hunch. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VC.
A Numbers Game on VC, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, trifecta of college football quarters to close out the quarters today after the Miami-Ohio State game last night. Tim Murray will join us here momentarily, as will Miami alum Chris Valleca, who is pumped. I know he and Will have big futures plays on Miami as well. We get tweets of beating the book. Jonathan Doe, that is your real name. Happy New Year, boys. Hey, Gil, would you happen to have a pair of black glasses without the prosthetic nose attached to them? I'm asking for a friend. Hope you're feeling better. A little better, thank you. Yeah, these glasses, not a hit. Not a hit.
People don't like change, Gil. They don't like change.
They don't like change. Well,
is someone still getting over the which sides the TV they're seeing us on?
That's right. Well, I was known for the clear ones as sort of the groundbreaker there. So I guess I can't really get rid of them. Fred Courier, tell Kelly, cold and snowing. Thanks for being on today. Fred Courier could not get past your temperature sensitivity.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, Fred, it was rainy out there this morning coming in, a little chill in the air. It's a tough Vegas morning as well.
That's nasty out there.
You know what? I was telling the crew before, you know, one of the things that's really cool about Vegas, like this is like the the child side of me, right? The whenever it rains here and you get the clouds that just light up because of all the light from the strip, it's always looks cool. Looked cool driving in this morning.
QD McGraw. After listening to Will Hill break down the Miami-Ohio State matchup on Wednesday's show with Gil, I placed two wagers, Miami first half money line plus 240, Miami money line plus 265. Thanks, Will and Gil. Happy New Year. Let's go Texas Tech. That's QD McGraw talking right there. By the way, Miami, between getting into the playoffs at plus 450 and then money lining them last night, they are the boon to the Calci account. They and they alone, keeping that thing going great. Del Mind the Gap Radio. Happy New Year. FYI, Sabres, 10 wins in a row, plus 140 last night over the Stars. We talked about the Sabres yesterday. 10 in a row for Buffalo. We talked about it with Jay Kahn. Pardon me.
Tuesday? I was like, that wasn't yesterday, was it?
Day before yesterday. Yeah. You're correct. All right, before we get to just reviewing all of our futures plays, a couple more categories here, Kelly. NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, Tetteroa McMillan. Don't call him Tet, by the way. He doesn't like that. Tetteroa McMillan, minus 140. Tyler Shuck, which so many of our guests have, plus 140. Travion's 10-1. Jackson Dart's 14-1. Emeka Igbuka's 16-1. What's your instinct here on this?
Well, we do have news, I guess, that just came down and applies to this. Tyler Shuck will not have Chris Olave in Sunday's game. So,
hey, Chris, take the week off. We'll see you next week. Hey, oh, wait a minute.
Gil, we've been saying it all week. You don't want to get in front of these Saints and these Falcons right now, okay? These teams are hot. You don't want to see them in week 19 or week 20, okay?
Oh, he's sick. Chris is sick.
Yeah, he's sick. That we'll see if that comes into play. Obviously, losing his best receiver, that's not good. This is one, Gil, like, I have a feeling that game on Saturday is going to matter more for this award than it should. Like, the standalone, you get to see both receivers out there.
McMillan versus Emeka Igbuka.
Yeah, that have been in this conversation for most of the season. The fact that they're in a standalone game on Saturday, if one of them shows up big, and I think specifically McMillan, I think he has a chance to put this away.
Well, and then this, you know, the NFC, if Carolina loses to Tampa Bay in that game, then the Falcons-Saints game actually becomes a huge deal on Sunday. Tyler Shuck involved, as is, of course, Bijan for Offensive Player of the Year. Anyway, I don't know. I just think this is the most meh group of candidates we've ever seen in this category.
Yeah, I'm bummed out by this one because I think it looked really good at points this season. I thought between Dart, McMillan, Igbuka.
Right, but it was all
Warren even.
It was like, all blips to me. Like, it was like a 2 or 3 week blip, and then it went away. And then the final one, comeback player of the year, Christian McCaffrey is a $9 favorite, minus 900. Trevor Lawrence 7-1. Your guy Dak 30-1. You had a play on Dak, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming I'm done. I think this is this is gonna go. I think the odds are pretty well set. McCaffrey, Lawrence, very, very deserving to win this award, either one of them. I think I'd be fine if it went to either one of those guys. I think Dak, probably just with the way the team finished out, is not going to win this. It's down to those two. We'll see if McCaffrey can scoop both Offensive Player of the Year in this.
Okay, I went through this last week when you weren't here, Kelly. Let's do it again now that you're here, which is a horrific review of NFL futures this year, both made pre-flop and during the season. And I prefaced it last week, and I'll say it the same way this week. You know, there was a time here, 2022, where I couldn't miss on anything, right? That was the year of the 17 Atlanta Braves futures in the NL East, betting them over and over and over and over.
That was a ridiculous stretch.
Iga 7-1, 9-1, 7-1, 9-1, when people still didn't think she was the greatest in all kinds of tournaments. Miami, Indian Wells, on and on. That was the Ole Miss 100-1, the College World Series. I'm forgetting. So it was just an unbelievable boon. Well, guess what? Then I went into a period where I was the bridesmaid on everything. Max Duggan for Heisman.
Yeah.
Juan Soto for NL MVP, I think preceded that, actually, was a number two. Ashton Jenny, there's a whole bunch of number twos.
There's things like betting where they affect your mindset, right?
Yeah.
Gil is going to remember Max Duggan for 30 years longer than I will.
That's right.
We could catch up 15 years from now, but you could bring that up. I'm not going to even remember who the guy is.
Because I made the joke the other night, you know, in group chat. I'm like, boy, Duggan can really get TCU back in this ball game. They got a shot here. Anyway, all that to say, this NFL season, I'm rocking with a 2-10 currently. First bet I made, Giants under 5.5 wins. That was a winner. I should have stopped right there.
I was just going to ask, is it the first two you made?
No, because there was also Bills Dolphins 1-2 exact in there that lost. Broncos to make the playoffs. That hit. Everything else, Kelly, is a loser. Jaden Daniels never got off the ground with the injuries for MVP, so can't really be blamed for that. The two alt season win totals I did, the Vikings snatched defeat from me away from victory as they go on this run to end the season. That I was hoping to get home and didn't. Bears and Vikings both under alts, neither get home. Two. So here are the really bad ones. Fewest regular season wins, the Dolphins and Panthers never came close.
I think the most FOMO I've felt all season sitting next to you betting has been when you bet the Panthers fewest regular season wins at 11-1. And then, I did it. I was like, that's such a great bet, and I never bet it.
Bears to miss the playoffs.
The NFL season, they might make the playoffs.
Dude, Bears to miss the playoffs, plus 155. That looked like it. No, that didn't come out. And then was the real stupid thing for me was the trio of bets, right? Like almost a third of them are on the Cowboys. Mm. Cowboys to win the NFCs, Cowboys to lose conference championship game, Cowboys to lose divisional round. Those are all losers. Now, if any of the ones that I still have pending hit, then all of a sudden, this frown turns into a smile. Mike McDonald to win coach of the year. If they beat the Niners on Saturday, I think that's very much in play at 9-1. Then I have the two Super Bowl matchups, Chargers-Rams 28-1, Chargers-49ers at 66-1, and Bijan to win offensive player of the year at 150-1. But generally speaking, horrific. For all kinds of reasons.
Yeah, me not a great season either, and it's kind of becoming more frustrating with awards, because I think I was looking good for a couple of these and now not so much anymore. Let's see. Giants under. Hey, it's the first bet we made, Gil. Yeah. First bet we made. That was like in February or March or whatever. That was good. We got that one home. Carolina. I guess it's hard to say at this point.
I thought you did way better than me. I guess not.
Huh? Still would have bet.
Oh, but you have a lot of pending still.
I still have a lot pending. Yep. Buffalo, my swings on Buffalo, kind of like your swings on Dallas, just didn't work out. Most regular season wins, over 13.5. Just not going to get there. Seattle, dead wrong on, obviously. I do think when we broke that down, this was me glowing about the rest of the NFC West, really thinking that the Niners and Rams were going to be really good, and I thought the Cardinals were going to be better than what they ended up being, and I thought Seattle was just naturally going to get in that fourth slot way off. Seahawks have been awesome, but game bets on them all season long have made up for that and way more. Let's see, I have Denver to make the playoffs like you, that's home. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, one of those guys is going to win the AFC North. So we'll make out with a little bit of money there. Back from the dead is Houston to win the AFC South. That one's in play. And then we'll see Dallas win NFC East. That one goes down. Chicago to miss the playoffs. That one goes down. Still alive. Seattle to win the NFC. I have it 6-1. That's probably from like a month ago. Guess you can get about the same number now. Award Stafford 45-1 for MVP.
That's the big one.
Yeah, that's the big one. Dak 4-1 for comeback player of the year. McDonald in twice, 10-1 and 23-1. D'Amico Ryans 150-1 also involved. And Emeka Egbuka bet at the worst time possible, like my Yankees bet during the summer. Remember that? Yankees to win the division? Like the worst possible number you could bet it at?
-200
I got -125 on Egbuka. Who's got minus money on Egbuka right now? Tyler Ward over his receiving yards. That one cashes. And then I've got a Buffalo over Seattle Super Bowl exacta at 90-1, still alive.
Stafford becomes MVP, though. You're good to go.
Then it was a good season. Yeah. So, I'm still be ruined that one home. Yep.
What's the lesson in all of this? Is there a lesson? Is there a
That's a good question.
Can we make a commentary about preseason versus in season? Can we make a commentary about certain types of bets over others?
It's a great question, because this is also I think you got to be able to at the end of a season to go through bets like this.
Yeah.
All right, Seattle was way off on, right? I don't really mind the losses that I took on Buffalo, because it was close. It's not like it was completely out of reach. Even the Dallas bets we made at the time.
Yeah, man, I'll answer my own question. Nah, I don't think there is a lesson. I think sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You could just as easily look like a genius, but
I think my Dallas over points one's a good lesson.
There you
go. If you can erase one side of the ball when looking at win total.
Tim Murray, college football next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, My little buddy, Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. How's the weight loss coming? You still status quo?
Yeah, not really, no update to give there.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't been a good last 2 weeks, that's for sure.
Are we comfortable where you are, and we're not even going to talk about this anymore?
Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Maintain, baby.
I'm maintaining.
Maintain.
I had gotten beyond that 100 mark, and then it's basically leveled out.
Okay.
Throwing some vacations and holidays, and oh boy.
We get tweets beating the book. Ryan Hyatt, our buddy, Happy New Year to Gil Kelly, Crack, the entire ANG family at VSiN Live, except for the Oregon Ducks fans, he says. Their great New Year can start anytime after about 4 p.m. Central today. He's on Texas Tech. Ryan Hyatt's a big Texas Tech guy, by the way.
Yes, he is.
That's his jam. And then people murdering me for my glasses today. Larry Fresh says, how everyone sees you in your new glasses. He put up a picture of Humpty from Digital Underground. Now stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you used to.
I'm just looking at this picture.
I look funny. What's that?
I'm just looking at this picture that Fred Curry included. Fred, are you really out there plowing snow here this morning?
He's the guy that that objects to when you complain about 50-degree weather. So he gives us a weather update every morning. He was very offended by it.
Does not look fun this morning. I'm with you.
Christian Marsh. Has anyone seen Gil and Buddy Holly in the same room? No. Happy New Year. Oh, I haven't heard that one before. Happy New Year's, boys. Have a 20-1 ticket on Texas Tech in Miami, 100-1. So hope you're right today. Hope so, too. Rob Graham. Happy 2026, Gil Kelly and the rest of the VSiN family from your Canadian friend. I took the Sabres last night. I sprinkled them to win the division. There you go, Rob. 14-1 and 45-1 in the East. Happy New Year to y'all, by the way, everybody. Jason H11, what's the exchange rate for Bidlin bucks? He wants to know.
Zero.
And Chance Copperpot, I thought in 2025 South Park would do an episode about Prize Picks and DraftKings, but instead they chose Kalshi, proving once again the writers are further ahead of the curve than I. Do we permanently move to prediction markets because of taxes? I don't know about permanently, but the migration, in case you missed it, has begun.
First day of new taxes, Gil. New taxes.
Square Bob 2022. I keep hearing about all the games lost to injury. The Bears had the most games lost to injury at 318. The Niners had 248. I get star power, but given all around on both teams, I think what Ben Johnson achieved this year was harder to do. Yeah, but you could also throw the Skins in. They lost the most to starters, right? You can parse that out however you want. I think what Ben Johnson and Kyle Shanahan both did is awesome. Both things can be true. But you get the number one seed overcoming all those great players. Eileen Shanahan on that. Ladies and gentlemen, he joins us now, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line. He's the host of VSiN Primetime. He's the host of the College Football Tailgate Show and the host of the College Football Betting Podcast. Tim Murray joins us now at #1, Tim Murray on Twitter. Tim, what a great day this is. How you doing, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, it is a great day. Good start last night. And here we go. Rock and roll. We got three great games, hopefully. And I'm ready to sit my butt on the couch for a couple hours before coming into work.
I was going to say, I can't wait to sit on my butt for 9 hours after this. Pardon me. Let me ask you about the takeaways from last night. You were on the Canes as well, I believe. A viable threat to win it all. Is that the big headline takeaway?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I took the points with Miami. Did I think they would win outright? No, I didn't really have that much in the back of my head. But the way that game started, you know, the pick six, and you're like, oh, all right, here we go. This is game on. But look, the big reason why ultimately I bet Miami heading into that game was what we saw from that defense. Mezidor, Bain, Scott coming back. I mean, this team is that good defensively. And I really thought that they called a quality game offensively. So yeah, moving forward, you got Georgia more than likely in the next round. And then, you know, we'll see who emerges from the other side of the bracket. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think. And I know a lot of it had to do, Gil, with the unlikelihood of them making the playoff based off of the committee. But this was a team in Miami that the week of the announcement of the bracket was 200-1 to win the national championship at Circa. And once again, a lot of it had to do with they probably weren't going to get in, so we thought. But yeah, this is definitely a team more than viable to win the national championship. And whether it was right or wrong, I mean, Ohio State was the most highly power rated team in college football entering last night, and they took care of business and won that game. So they are more than viable to win the national championship. And I think the question we all are still wondering fair or not, is are the Louisville or SMU performances going to show up? Because that was the one thing. I'm like, this team is more than capable. We saw it against Ohio State last night. We saw it week one against Notre Dame. We saw it against, you know, Florida. We saw it against Florida State. But is this team is capable of a clunker? Is there going to be a clunker in these final two games? And I think that is still on the minds of many of us, but there's no doubt the talent that is on that roster, Gil, is more than capable of winning a national title.
And I just feel compelled to say this, and imagine the inclusion of the Tulanes and James Madisons of the world might have prevented us from even having Miami in. It's just a flawed system. Let's talk about these three games today. Texas Tech and Oregon. Will defenses rule the roost today? What do you think?
Yeah, this is, I'll be honest, you know, we all kind of look at these games so much. This is the game that I'm really having the hardest time from a betting standpoint, because I kind of tie myself in the knots a little bit. You mentioned defenses. You look at Texas Tech, what they've shown up front. David Bailey, absolute menace, 13.5 sacks on the year. Jacob Rodriguez is everywhere out there. If Dante Moore has time, Gil, will these Oregon wide receivers be able to make some plays? And I think that's the big question for me. You know, like I said, this is the game I have not bet side or total yet. Having a little bit of a challenge here because I kind of talk myself one way or the other. I think the question that I have and why I think Texas Tech for me is why I'm a little bit hesitant on the Red Raiders here, Gil, is the strength of schedule. This is a team that is 12-1 ATS, best cover team in college football, won all 12 of their games by 20 or more points. That being said, strength of schedule, per Jeff Sagarin, 68th in the country. So is their strength of schedule a bit of a deterrent on me backing the Texas Tech Red Raiders here? So my big question is Dante Moore going to have time? If he has time, are they going to make some plays against that secondary? I think Texas Tech's secondary is probably the weakness of that elite defense. And is the strength of schedule for Texas Tech going to be, has it masked maybe some flaws for this team? So no bet on me on this game yet for me, but can't wait to watch it. This of the four was the one I was most intrigued to sit and watch.
Let's go to Alabama and Indiana. Let's do them in chronological order. I'm on Indiana here, but I did mention earlier, Caleb DeBoer, right? When Alabama is facing, once again, a underdog situation. If they're a favorite by less than three, a pick 'em or an underdog, which of course the latter they are here in this ballgame, 13-3 straight up and 14-2 against the spread under DeBoer. How do you see this going?
Yeah, I think I would be on Indiana as well. I did put together a little Indiana Georgia money line parlay. Circa, I think, was slight plus money. You know, you look at Alabama. I was on them against Oklahoma. And coming away from that, they had 260 yards of offense. It felt like Oklahoma at times kind of gave that game away. The pick six before the half really felt like it turned everything for the Tide in that contest. And I just think when you look at Alabama, can you be one-dimensional and beat this Indiana team? I think that's the big question, right? This is a team that cannot run the football. They were unable to run the football. I know they had a couple runs that kind of helped move the chains against Oklahoma, but Jam Miller, 7 carries, 11 yards in that win over Oklahoma. Do still like the wide receivers for Alabama quite a bit, but Ryan Williams, is he going to show up? Jeremy Bernard's been really good. Isaiah Horton has stepped up with Williams kind of being absent for the past month or so. You know, last thing on this game, Indiana, the loss of Daly. Stephen Daly led the Big Ten in tackles for loss. That freak injury after the Big Ten championship, how big of a loss is that going to be for this game? And also, Gil, how big of a loss is that going to be moving forward for the Hoosiers if they are to advance today?
And then Ole Miss and Georgia, the question I posed out loud sort of to anyone earlier was, will this be the game? Obviously, we didn't see it against Tulane, but will this be the game where we notice the absence of Lane Kiffin?
I think so. And I laid 6.5. I know the market hasn't moved, so you always get worried when you're looking at a 6.5 and it hasn't moved. You're like, why hasn't this gone up to 7? So maybe I'm just a dope. Wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last time, Gil, but I just think Georgia, the way that they've played, the way they played in the SEC championship, the way they played in that Texas game in the middle of November, I think this is that spot. Pete Golding, I don't know how good of a coach he's going to be, and I'm not saying he's going to be a bad coach. But when you think back to, hey, they put all into the Tulane game. Now you've had a 10 or 12 days to get prepared for this Georgia game. Kirby Smart preparing extra time. I believe he's 28-3 with 10 plus days of prep time. They lost this bowl game last year. I think Georgia wins this game by a touchdown or more. I laid 6.5 with the Bulldogs.
Tim Murray, everybody. Tim, enjoy the day. Happy New Year, my man. Appreciate it. Coming back, Are We Sure? And Chris Velika next.